sisters stand together free from tribal tyranny. Peaceful friendships love us and let join in steadfast unity. Share alike one open future, care for each around among. Meet what faith bestows with courage, greet our world in every tongue.
Hello and welcome to a special alfresco edition of Romaniacs. We're here at the People's March for EU on Park Lane with my regular co-host Peter Collins.
Hello, it's a great day for it.
And Ros Taylor from the LSE.
It is beautiful out here, really sunny.
And we're going to be rounding up opinions as we go through the march. So looking down Park Lane, I'm rubbish at estimating crowd numbers, but I would say there are at least 350 million people here. All the EU flags on the internet have been snapped up, and there's some very creative portrayals of David Davis and a sad-looking Britannia, and some incredibly policy-wonky banners. You do get the best, the most detailed placards at a march like this. All the policy detail. Ian would love it. Ian is missing it, unfortunately. And he would love it. I'm sure there's an explanation of the customs union somewhere in here.
I'm still hoping for more graphically rude cartoons of Nigel Farage. I've not seen any yet, but I live in hope.
Oh, no, I've seen a kind of an unflattering picture of Nigel.
Oh, that's good.
It's placard bingo, really, isn't it? You've got the unflattering picture, the incredibly detailed breakdown of the economic costs of Brexit, and a kind of angry-looking David Davis.
Yep, I'm seeing one of Britannia looking miserable. She's weeping, and there's a lion next to her. He's saying, embarrassing, I can't watch.
And also the slightly sort of tautological exit Brexit slogan, which I'm not quite sure about, but it's catchy. Hi. Love your placard. It says, "We choose internationalism and cooperation, not xenophobia and isolation," which is a hard one to chant, but it's a good one to read.
Yes, it's a bit long for chanting, but it sums up what I think. We've got to cooperate in this world. Countries have got to work together for mutual benefit and for mutual ends. And we're just much better off in the European Union rather than becoming an isolated little country on the fringes of one of the big continents of the world. We've got to cooperate for our mutual benefit with our partners on this continent.
Because I was thinking that most protests, of course, they're anti-something, and this is an anti-Brexit protest, but it's also very positive. There's a lot of emphasis of the kind of benefits of
That's
the
right.
Union.
I think you've got to try to balance a negative message with a positive one. You can't just be against things. You've got to show what the benefits of the European Union are in this case. And you've got to show why remaining is such an important thing for the economy, for jobs, for funding the NHS, for providing the staff to public services such as the NHS, and why we are benefiting from remaining in the European Union at the present, and how, if we continue within, we'll continue to benefit.
And how do you think the fight back is going? How optimistic are you compared to, say, a year ago that concessions will be made?
It's very difficult to know what's going to happen. Anything is possible, absolutely anything. So we've got everything to play for. We've got to get the message across and persuade people that remaining in the European Union is good for the economy, for their opportunities, for their ability to travel, for their ability to interact with other people in the near abroad. So by putting forward a positive message, as well as warning about the economic risks, we can win public opinion. And if we get to a 60-40 balance, politicians will begin to question the wisdom of Brexit. If we get to 70-30, Brexit will be defeated.
Well, thank you so much. And finally, we go. Can you read out what's on that side of the placard?
On the other side, it says, "Help! We're trapped on a small island that's been taken over by mad people."
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Here we are with Seb Dance. He's the Labour MEP for London, a leader of the Progressive Alliance of Socialists and Democrats in the European Parliament. Beloved of Remainers for holding up a sign behind Nigel Farage that said, "He's lying to you." True then, true now. How are you, Seb?
I'm very well. How are you?
So what's your what's your hope for the march today? We've had marches before. How do you feel this one sort of fits in? And
well, I guess there's two purposes here. The first is to make us realise that we're not alone in supporting remaining in the EU. There are lots of people around the country who realise that this is a catastrophic mistake. But also, obviously, to demonstrate to everybody else that this argument hasn't gone away. Just because the government is saying there's an inevitability behind it, just because there's a feeling that maybe this has to happen, we're here to say, well, actually, we're a sensible country, we're a democracy, and we can discuss the future of our country sensibly and openly. And that's what we're here to do today, to say this debate is not closed.
And obviously, it's an, on one level, an anti-Brexit demonstration, but it's also a pro-EU one. And I feel like, do you feel like that sort of, you see a lot of the banners here, there's a kind of celebratory sort of mood, more than an angry one. Do you think that's important for the argument?
Definitely. I think it's extremely important. This isn't just defining what we're against. It's being positive about a union of countries that has delivered peace and prosperity on a continent that for centuries has been riven by war and animosity. I mean, you can see the tourist buses, the kind of big open-top buses that are full of people who come to love this city, visit this city. They're waving at us. They're from other countries. You know, they want us to stay. They want us to be partners with them, not adversaries. And that's what Brexit is all about. It's about setting us up as adversaries to people we should be working with. And I think that positive atmosphere here is something we should utilise.
And how do you think this sort of chimes with, I suppose, the political fight at the moment? There was a march last summer after the referendum, which was kind of, in some ways, like a bit of a sort of howl of protest, because, you know, it was a defeat in a way. Now, do you think the kind of ground is sort of shifted? Are there reasons for optimism for people marching today?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't escape reality. You can dress things up in rhetoric and say, you know, this is a huge success. We've got all the cards. The EU will have to bow down before the might of David Davis and Liam Fox. But reality catches up eventually. And I think step by step, we are seeing that reality catch up. It's a very slow process, don't get me wrong. But I think people are realizing now the reality of what's happening, the reality of the weakness that the government has put us in. And I think that that does give us cause for optimism, because bit by bit, we can see that there is an alternative. We don't have to go through with this. And certainly if we do, we can do it in a way that doesn't destroy our country. So that's really why it's important to have so many people here today, such a positive message going forward, because, you know, we can persuade the minds of people who voted to leave.
Can I jump in with a question here? Keir Starmer has taken Labour in what we would think is a sensible direction recently. How far do you think Labour can travel in that direction?
Well, we've travelled a long way already. I think, basically the position, I don't want to leave the EU. There are many, many people in the Labour Party who do not want to leave the EU. I would say the vast majority of members. But if we have to leave the EU because public opinion demands it, then there are ways of doing it that don't destroy the country. I see my job as trying to persuade that majority in the country that actually we should stay in the European Union. Now, there will be different shades of that opinion throughout the Labour Party, of course, but I think that the Labour Party could well move into a position where, for example, we advocate something like a second referendum, but that's something perhaps for the future. But for now, I think our position has definitely moved in the right direction. It certainly makes the most sense if we're leaving the European Union. But honestly, I really think that those of us who feel that we shouldn't leave the European Union at all, now is the time for us to speak out.
Thank you very much.
Tell us why you've come today.
Because I feel so strongly that Brexit is going to wreck the UK, and it's such a shame that something so damaging is coming about because of a load of lies and a load of idiocy.
And would you be here, do you think, if it wasn't such a hard Brexit? Do you think if it was a bit softer, you wouldn't feel so strongly?
Because I know that experts aren't the flavour of the month nowadays, but I am an EU expert, so I do understand that the EU is the best possible arrangement that the UK can have for a globalised world.
So you're an EU expert. Tell me a bit more about that.
So I lectured for 3 years on the EU at the National School of Government. I've held three jobs in government that are focused on the EU. I've seen most facets of how the EU works. I've sat in working groups in Brussels. Yeah, so I would say that qualifies me as an expert. And I speak 6 European languages.
That's pretty good.
Which ones?
Spanish, German, French, Italian, Portuguese, and English.
That's brilliant. So are you feeling optimistic?
No, because I think the government we have in power at the moment is completely undemocratic and completely stupid and incompetent.
So do you think today's march is going to make a difference?
It makes a difference to me personally. At least I can feel that I'm doing something on my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. You're
drinking some Prosecco here.
Yeah.
I should point out it's a very small bottle.
It is a very small bottle, yeah. But I'm a very small person. To protest against this absolute idiocy and say, not in my name.
So it's a very polite and quiet march, isn't it? I mean, you know, there's not much angry shouting and stuff.
I haven't seen anyone smashing windows at Caviar House.
No.
Or the Fine Cigar Emporium.
And all these other, and the Conservative at the Carlton Club and all these other, St. James's Palace, all of these bastions of the establishment that we've been passing by, they've all gone by unscathed.
Well, it is a kind of very sort of benign and positive, it's a positive cause. I mean, there's people are, if you talk to people, they are angry.
But in a polite way.
But in a polite way. It's not the kind of anger that kind of manifests itself in, you know, a really kind of rowdy demo, which is fine. There are different, you know, there are different styles of demo driven by different causes.
It would be a different thing entirely, I suspect, if this were a pro-Brexit march and Farage and Co. are at the head of it.
Take back control charm and people with England flags on their faces.
Shouting at anybody who looks a bit foreign, that sort of thing, yes.
I mean, I would go
to watch.
Undercover. I would go to watch.
With a bag of rotten tomatoes.
Yeah. And here we are, we've now got to Parliament Square, and my daughter Ellen has come along, and it's her first demo. What do you think?
I like all the posters and all the banners and the flags, they're very inspirational.
And is it making you feel optimistic?
Yeah, I suppose like the whole Brexit process is like a seesaw. I mean, there are positive moments and then there are negative moments.
So today's a high before you crash down into pessimism once more, yeah?
Yeah, basically.
All right. Thanks, Eleanor. So here we are, we've reached the end of the march in Parliament Square. There's some speeches, some better than others. There's some somewhat clunky kind of sloganeering slam poetry, as is obliged by law at events like this. But it seems like the mood's been fantastic. The balloon game is very strong here. How do you think it's been, Roz?
It's been really good natured, just like the last big pro-EU march I was on. And while the slogans are sometimes a bit clunky and not everyone wants to chant along, especially if there's a bit of swearing involved, they just won't, the slogans have been really good on the banners. So I've seen baguettes, not regrets. That's my personal favourite. And pulling out never works. That's, you know, just slightly on the risque side, which suits this crowd. And there was a great man dressed as an astronaut, and it said European Space Agency on his backside. I don't know whether he really was from the ESA, but then he said, if we leave, then I'm moving to Mars. So that was also pretty effective.
My personal favourite was never going to give EU up. It's always good to get a bit of Rick Astley in there, isn't it?
So it's too early to know what the attendance was, but it's been a great upbeat day, and it just feels like a very benign movement to be a part of, which is important because one of the reasons you come along to this is not just, you know, to sort of have your voice heard, but to feel a part of something, to feel like you enjoy being on the side of these people, and it's been lovely. And we'll be back in the studio for the regular podcast on Friday. See you then.
Choice of roads and roamings, lands and forests, sands and seas, sport and leisure, art and treasures, triumphs and discoveries. May all dwell content in safety, unoppressed and free from pain, striving, learning, seeking,